Introduce you, that's what I know. I told everyone tonight I'd speak first. I promised him on Tu B'Shvat I'd speak first. It's So my shtick was going to be, I was going to introduce Rabbi Rubinstein and let him speak. That would be my speaking first, but okay. Just spin a homentash or something? Okay, Rishis Rabbi Rubinstein, Rishis the Chevra. Today is the 11th of Adar. Which really means that we could say Freilich and Purim to each other. Because it's... This call, even a bechina of Purim, I think, takes away from it. It's mamish a day of Purim for some Jews. Right? The Mishnah begins in Maseches Megillah, that the Megillah can be read on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th. So today is really the first day that Jews, traditionally, had the possibility of reading the Megillah. What's fascinating to think about is the fact that who read the Megillah on the 11th of Adar? What type of Jew read the Megillah on the 11th of Adar? Rabbi Elazar mentioned this morning, maybe a Jew is going to Tokyo and doesn't know when he's going to hear the Megillah, on the 14th or the 15th. Traditionally, a person, the Mishnah is telling us that the type of individual who reads the Megillah on the 11th of Adar, is a Jew who lives out in the Kfarim, the Bnei HaKfarim, a person who lives far away. It's not part of the Torah centers, lives far away from the Beis Medrash. And they would come, traditionally, the Gemara, Gideon Maseches Megillah describes how those individuals would come on Monday and Thursday to the larger cities, either for Kriyas Megillah, either for Kriyas Torah, in this context Kriyas Megillah, to have court cases, to supply food. These were people who lived out in the fields, and they would prepare, they would grow vegetables, they would supply food for the people in the large cities. They were known as the Bnei HaKfarim. And therefore Chazal said, if you're already coming in on a Monday or a Thursday, to come back a few days later to hear the Megillah, it's going to be burdensome. So you know what? You can hear the Megillah on the 11th, you can hear the Megillah on the 12th, you can hear the Megillah on the 13th, and then other people will hear it on the 14th and 15th. If I were to ask you, what type of Jew hears the best Megillah? Where's the best place to hear the Megillah? Where's the best place to do anything? Like Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. So Tzaddik from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh hears the Megillah on the 15th. And these individuals, these Bnei HaKfarim, these simpletons, who don't even know how to read the Megillah themselves, according to many, and that's why they're coming to the large cities to hear Kriyas HaTorah. They don't own a Sefer Torah. They're living out away from the Jewish community. Very simple, simple Jews. They're the first ones. Their mamish is the first ones to have the opportunity to hear the Megillah. What's the pshat? It's mamish v'nafachim. You would think a Kadosh Baruch would be mechabed. And mechabed, mechubed, with the first reading of the Megillah, tzaddikim of Yerushalayim. And then afterwards, okay, the Bnei HaKfarim will get online and they'll... When everyone else has heard the Megillah, then they'll have their chance to hear the Megillah. It's very strange. Rav Tzadok points this out in the Pre-Tzadok. Rav Tzadok says it's very strange that the Bnei HaKfarim are the ones who dafka lead us into the Yom Tov of the Megillah. Achashverosh makes a party, and the party is 180 days, and then another 7 days. The Gemara tells us that the party for 180 days were for people who were far away. And then afterwards, he made a 7-day party for the locals. And the Gemara debates whether that was a good idea or a very foolish idea. But the bottom line is, he first was mechabed the distant people, and then he was mechabed the close people. And again, you read a Gemara like this, it's very nice. Some say Achashverosh was a good plan, some say it was a silly plan. Whatever it is, why do I need to know? Why do I care who Achashverosh invited when? First the distant people, then the locals. What's the pshat? What does it mean for me? Gemara Megillah is teaching us how to live our lives. So in Avodas Hashem, what does it mean for me that the people who are far away are invited first? Another example. Achashverosh is trying to figure out what to do with Vashti. And those of us who were learning a couple weeks ago, the Vilna Gaon explained what happened exactly there, the letter that she sent to him, why it was so offensive, and he couldn't even share his anger, and he was burning on the inside, but he has to do something with Vashti. So he turns to his advisors, and he lists the names of the advisors, and the last one, of course, is Memuchan, which Chazal understand is Haman. And yet, the Pasuk says, who speaks first? Who's the first one to respond to Achashverosh? What should I do with Vashti? Memuchan. Says the Gemara, from here we learn that a hedyot is the origin of the word idiot, a foolish person is kofetz l'rosh. Right? Memuchan, Haman, was the smallest of the advisors, and yet he thought, I have the right to speak first. Maybe that's why I'm speaking first. A hedyot is kofetz l'rosh. Yeah, a foolish person speaks first. Let a gadol speak before you. And again, Chazal see that Memuchan gives the advice to Achashverosh, but the advice works. Achashverosh doesn't say, hold on, you wait your turn. Achashverosh says, oh, that's a good idea. And then it ends up being a good idea for Klal Yisrael. It was a foolish idea in terms of Haman. But why again? What are Chazal teaching us, this inyan of a hedyot kofetz l'rosh? That the bottom, the last person on the list is the first one to speak. Again, it's very unusual. and very much avin hafachu. Part of the miracle, if you look carefully through the Megillah, one of the strangest things in trying to understand how the miracle came about was that part of the miracle came about through, I'm going to say this very, very carefully, through Averos. That by doing Averos, Klal Yisrael actually were able to save themselves. So let me give you some examples. The Pasuk says, Vaya'avor Mordechai. Mordechai was over. He passed from one place to a different place. But Chazal understand, Vaya'avor Mordechai, Mordechai, Vaya'avor Milashon Avera. Mordechai did an Avera. Not only did Mordechai do an Avera, he encouraged Klal Yisrael to do an Avera. Call it an Avera Lishma if you want, but it's an Avera. Mordechai told Bnei Yisrael, we need to fast. And when are we going to fast? People don't realize it. They were fasting on Yud Dalid, Tes Vav, and Tes Zayin of Chodesh Nisan, which means Pesach got canceled that year. That instead of sitting at the Seder eating matzah, the Jewish people chose to reject and ignore that mitzvah, Daraisa of matzah, which the Chassam Sofer says the only mitzvah Daraisa we have, and we don't have a base of Mikdash in terms of eating. Only Daraisa mitzvah of eating is the Tchilas Matzah. They didn't eat the Mar, they didn't drink the Dalid Kosos. Ayavar Mordechai. Mordechai decides, it's okay, we're not gonna do these mitzvahs. Behechi tasted that you're allowed to do that. Who gave Mordechai Rishus to decide not to do the mitzvahs of Pesach, to declare a fast day on the 14th, 15th, and 16th of Nisan? Very, very strange. Esther also does an Avera. Until now, Esther has gone to Achashverosh when she was summoned to Achashverosh. But now Esther, Beratzon, is going into Achashverosh, a married woman going to submit herself to another man. Kasher avadati avadati, she understands the seriousness of the situation. But who gave her rishus to do that? Who gives a married woman rishus to submit herself? Again, Beratzon, if she's raped, if she's taking advantage of Achashverosh, that's one thing. Rachman al-Litzan. But to submit herself, Beratzon. And then Mordechai encourages her to, yeah, you should go, you're a married woman, you can't do that. It's off limits. It's Gilei Arayos. It shouldn't be in the negotiations. It shouldn't be up for grabs. No such thing. It's a very strange thing. And Bechlal, the fact that the whole Yeshua comes about through a woman, right, not that we have, God forbid, anything against women, but more often than not in Tanakh, it's a man who plays the role as the hero, as the savior. Moshe Rabbeinu took us out of Mitzrayim. It wasn't Miriam. Of course, it was B'schus Nashim Tzidkaniyos. Of course, the women are always behind the scenes. But that a woman should be up front, and that the Megillah should be called Megillas Esther, not even Megillas Esther v'Mordechai. Certainly not Megillas Mordechai. That the Yom Tov is named, that the Yom Tov should be named for Esther, is also a very interesting thing to note, and it tells us a lot about the whole Sipur and the whole Yeshua of Purim. Purim this year falls out the week of Parshas Kisisa. That happens very often. Not always, but very often. And in this week's parsha also, you see people doing averus. You see Moshe Rabbeinu taking the luchos. Can you imagine? Imagine what it's like. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you luchos. The Dvar Hashem. Right, written be'etz be'elokim, whatever that even means. The miraculous luchos. Mizeh mizeh k'suvim. Written on both sides in a miraculous way. The Dvar Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu takes them and smashes them. You're upset at someone, so you take a sefer Torah and you throw it on the floor. That's the appropriate response. I'm making a point. That's nice. We don't throw our Torahs on the floor. You don't throw the luchos on the floor either. And Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, no. Not only was it not inappropriate, Yashar Koach, Shashibar, Tashkayach, thank you for breaking the luchos. Again, an Avera. You look in the Haftorah for Parshas Kisisa. Eliyahu on Har Carmel, Malachim Perek Yud Ches. Eliyahu is on Har Carmel, and they're offering karbanos. Two bulls are being offered outside of Yerushalayim. From the time Yerushalayim is selected, you can't do that. You're no longer eligible. You're not allowed to. Okay, it's a hora, it's shah, but it's an avera. It's against halacha. So you look through the sipur of the Megillah, you look through the parsha that we read the week of Purim, and it's very, very hard to understand what exactly is going on here. Seemingly a lot of averos, and that a Yeshua should come about through averos is a very strange thing. A very, very strange thing. I saw in a sefer minhagim called Sefer Matamim. It's a book of minhagim. In the Sefer Matamim, it says one of the reasons Hashem's name is not in the Megillah, very interesting pshat, he says because the Yeshua came about from a Jewish girl marrying a Gentile. And people might say, oh look, see, if you marry someone from a different religion, sometimes it works out okay. Good things come from it. Right? God forbid that a person should say that a salvation comes about from a Jewish woman being married to a guy. Oh no, it's not so bad. An interfaith marriage, you know, sometimes it'll produce something good. So Hashem says, I don't want to put my name in a book where there's a nice a nice Jewish Meirullah married to an Achashverosh. I'm not putting my name on that. I don't want to send any mixed messages. And yet there's so many Averos that bring about the issue of Klal Yisrael. When Shaul HaMelech is fighting against the Malik, and Shaul tragically, as far as our eyes see it, tragically fails to finish off the job. He doesn't kill Agag, the king of Amalek. And he's rebuked by it. And he loses his Malchus because of it. It was an Avera. There's a very funny conversation, an unusual and cryptic conversation between two tzaddikim. The Chiddush HaArim once asked the Rizhner, the Yisrael of Rizhin, what's the pshat that Shaul didn't finish the job? Why didn't Shaul finish off Amalek? He had the opportunity. He could have killed Agag. He kills Agag and then Agag doesn't impregnate a woman and we don't have a Haman. Haman ha'agagi. We don't have a Haman. So what was Shaul thinking? And to think that Shaul thought he was doing the Ratzon Hashem, he failed to finish the job. So the Rizhner, the Heiliger Rizhner, as we always refer to him, the Rizhner said, no, Shaul HaMelech was doing a good thing. Shaul HaMelech was giving Klal Yisrael a Yom Tov called Purim. Shaul knew if I let Agag live, then there'll be a Haman, and then there'll be a Purim. So Shaul said, it's an opportunity for me to create Purim. I want to create Purim. The gematria of Shaul's name is very close to Purim. Okay. But I want to make Purim for Klal Yisrael. So the Rizhner said that was Shaul's Kavanah. But again, I'll ask you, read the Psukim. He loses his Malchus over it. So again, you call it Avera Lishma. Moshe smashes the Luchos. Even the Egel, right? Even the Egel, you could say, according to some, was maybe a very big Chet Ayin Gimel. Some people don't even say the name of the Chet. Right. Some say it's also a Avera Lishma. We once learned in Shir a piece from the Ohel Hashem, Rav Shem Klingberg, who said that Egel, or maybe it was his son in the back of the Sefer, who said that Egel is Rashi Tevos, like Chazal said, Gedola Avera Lishma. But Moshe smashes a lot of strange things. I'm trying to figure out how does Yeshua come about in such a way. And Shaul HaMelech, I went against the Navi, I went against the Ratzon Hashem to give Klal Yisrael the Purim by sparing Agag. The pieces don't seem to add up. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I have a little volume at home, a little biography from Rav Tzadok. And in there, he quotes from his Rebbe, the Ishbitzer. That the Ishbitzer said, this is the Lashon as it's printed in the Sefer, U'murgal haya b'piv shal admor mi Ishbitzer, mechato seyem shal dor hamidbar, nasa Torah. From the sins of the people in the Torah, from their averos, it became Torah, right? I mean, the averos of Klal Yisrael, for example, the Meraglim, who was commenting on the Meraglim. The Meraglim did a terrible thing, but it became Torah. It got written in Torah. When you read the Chet HaMeraglim, when you read the Chet HaEgel, when you read the failures of Klal Yisrael, that it was such a big Avera, I'm saying in a holy way, that it actually became Torah. We have no Hasaga of what their Cheshbonos were, what their calculations were. So the Ishbitzer used to say, from the sins of the Dor HaMidbar, it was made into Torah, to such a degree that what happens if Chet HaMeraglim, let's say you're embarrassed, you don't want to put Chet HaEgel in the Torah, you don't want to put Chet HaMeraglim in the Torah, you take it out, your Torah is pasul. If it's missing one letter of Chet HaMeraglim, your Torah is pasul. Hari psulahi. Umin ha-mitzvah shalanos. So let me ask you, the biggest mitzvah you ever did it ever make it into the Torah? The Ishbitzer said, their averos became Torah. Our mitzvahs can't even get into the Torah. We're dealing with big people. That much we know. I hope we're mature enough and understand enough to know that. What's the pshat? Adar is the Achris Hashana. Adar is the end of time. Nisan is the beginning of the calendar year. Adar is the end of the calendar year. We know from Sefer Yetzirah that everything exists in Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. I mean, there's a corresponding place and a time and a person. The easiest example to think about is the Kohen Gadol, the holiest person, so to speak, in the Kodesh Kadashim, the holiest place, on Yom Kippur, the holiest day. If Adar is the end of the calendar year, so to speak, the Amalek tries to attack the Nechashalim Acharecha, the weaklings who trail behind. Adar can't keep up, so to speak, with the rest of the year. And therefore, just like Adar is a low place within time, it takes place it involves low people. Because Olam Shana Nefesh, if it's a low time, if Adar is a low time in the calendar, that means it involves low people, namely the Jews who were going to Achashverosh's party. Chazal say in the Medrash, 85,000 Jews went, bowing down to Haman, losing their Yiddishkeit, not respecting the Gadol Ador, Mordechai, at least initially. And where does this all take place? In Shushan, also known as Elam, with an Ayin. A lashon of Halam, Na'alam, concealment, Hesterpanim. The place is a very unholy place, a very hidden place in terms of the Ruchnius. It was low people, it was a low time. And yet, the beautiful miracle of Purim, which is so relevant to us in the Ikfas of the Mashiach, also a low point in time and in place, is that Vina Hafachu, that the Bnei HaKfarim, that the lowest Jews, get to bring in Purim on Yud Aleph. The first ones to read the Megillah are those Jews who don't even have a Sheiches to the Tzibur. But they come and they get to kick it off. They get to lead the way. And that an Isha should be the heroine of the story. Obviously in Pnimius what that means is that if an Ish is able to bring about the Yeshua, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say, who's our husband, Kiviyachol, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Yeshua, so then it's a Isarusa de la'ela, it's a heavenly salvation. If Klal Yisrael bring about the Yeshua, right, then it's the Isha, so to speak, who's being misoreris. It's the woman who's leading the way. The fact that Esther led the way, it's saying that what? That Klal Yisrael led the way, in a certain sense. How do the lowest Jews lead the way? Hedyo Kofitz L'Rosh. Why are Chazal teaching us that Hedyo Kofitz L'Rosh? Why are Chazal teaching us that Achashverosh invited the faraway people before he invited the close people? Who's this Melech who's inviting the faraway people before the close people? It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu reaching out to low Jews. In the month of Adar, a low time, in a place called Eilam, a low place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to reach out, and so to speak, the Isha, being us, Knesset Yisrael, are reaching out towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trying to grab on, trying to drag ourselves back to the starting point, that others should somehow take us back to Nisan. Mishenichlas Adar Marvim B'Simcha, Rashi and Tanis says, Yimei Purim U'Pesach, that we're trying to be Makasher, the Sof of this man, to the beginning of this man. And the secret of all of these Averos that help to bring about the Yeshua, both in the Parsha and in this week's Haftorah, and in the so many examples within the Megillah itself, is really, the answer to all of that is really found in one line of Chazal. The Medrash says in several places, in Tana de Be'aliyah it's emphasized, the love of Knesset Yisrael is always emphasized in this Medrash Tana de Be'aliyah. It says that push comes to shove. If you had to choose, it's a choice we would never want to make. But if I had to pick, what's the ikker? The Torah or the Jewish people? What would I pick? What would you pick? Torah is one with Hashem and the Jewish people. It's all one. Kuchabricha, Raisa, and Knesset Yisrael. It's all one thing. I can't pick. It's the Zohar and Acher and Mos. It's all one thing. I can't. How am I supposed to pick? How are you supposed to pick? You can't pick. And yet, the Medrash answers something that none of us would have the audacity to say. Chazal didn't reveal it to us. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed it to us. That Machshavasan Shal Yisrael, the idea called Yisrael, the Machshava, the Reishis HaMachshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this idea called Knesset Yisrael, called Klal Yisrael, Kodma Bichol Davar. It's Kodma Bichol Davar, it's Kodma Lichol Davar. It's the first. It's the original intent. That there should be a Klal Yisrael. Even more so than the Torah. Think about it. The person writes a book. You write the book, you have to have a character, you have to have a picture of what the character is going to look like to then give the context to the story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had an idea called Knesset Yisrael, called Jewish people. And Hashem then wrote them a book, which we think of as coming before everything. No. Knesset Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Machshavasan Shal Yisrael, is Kodma B'chol Davar. It's the first of all. It's the first point of everything. So therefore, when a situation arises, when Knesset Yisrael, their whole existence is on the line, whether it's a Cheira Egel on this week's Parasha, or whether it's a Haman who's trying to destroy Klal Yisrael, sometimes, and again we have to say this in the most delicate way possible, sometimes averos have to take place. The Torah has to be pushed aside in the most gentle way that I could possibly say that, in order to save Klal Yisrael. Because push comes to shove. That's Hashem's greatest desire, even more so than the Torah. And Mordechai knew that, and Esther knew that, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew that, and everyone understood that Hashem said, ah, Moshe, I'm happy you got it. Yashir koach shashibarta. My luchos are not as important as my Jewish people. And by smashing the luchos, as Rashi says, it, so to speak, cancels the giving of the Torah, and then the avera is not such a serious avera. It's not as bad, because they're no longer married to a Kodesh Baruch Hu if Moshe rips up the shtar, rips up the ksuba. He's able to save Klal Yisrael in that way. And that's what's happening on Purim. It's Klal Yisrael. It's the lowest of the lowest of the lowest Jews, in the lowest time, in the lowest place. Hashem is still saying to that Yid, I care about you more than my Torah. Vayav or Mordechai. Esther went in Beratzon, Lefnei HaMelech. Moshe Rabbeinu smashes the luchos. Eis lasos la Hashem heferu torasecha. I think you can say a remez like this. Svarim say, if you take the name Amalek and you spell out the letters, Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf. Spell it out in Miloy. Amalek, the Svarim say, is gematria eis, or eight, for those who are Svarim. Ayin, Tuf. So Eis lasos la Hashem, when Amalek is trying to conquer Klal Yisrael, heferu torasecha. Sometimes you got to push aside the Torah. And heferu is the same osio says what? Why is it called Purim? Al-Shem Hapur. Heferu is Hapur. Right? That on Purim, when a Malik is trying to take over, a Jew has to realize that as Choshev as Torah is, there's something more Choshev than Torah called Knesset Yisrael. And maybe that's why some of us spoke about the other day. Mevatlin Talmud Torah, uvan l'shmo mikra Megillah. We explained it from the angle of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that the Ur and the Kedusha of the Megillah is even greater than Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. Which is greater than the Torah. The Megillah is greater than the Torah. Megillah doesn't have Hashem's name in it. The answer is, the Torah, like the Ramban says in his Akdamar HaChumash, is the name of Hashem. The name of a person defines the person. It says a lot about them. It says a lot about the person. It reveals things about their neshama. It's given to them by Ruach HaKodesh. Baal Shem Tov said that the inner letters of the word neshama, the two middle letters are Shin Mem, Shein. Your name is your inner essence, but it's still not you. Because someone else has your name also. As Lubavitch Rebbe once spoke about in the Sicha. Say for Shemos, other people also have your name. The etzem of you is beyond the name. And therefore, while the Torah is the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Megillah is the etzem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the atzmius of Elokus itself. It's Adar, it's the Reisha de Lo Isyada. It's the highest point, Rashi Tevos Adar. It's the Reisha, it's beyond. Everyone's going to explain to you what that means, because I don't even have a clue what that means, but I just know it's beyond. It's beyond name, it's beyond pratim, it's beyond everything. And that's the machshava keduma of Knesset Yisrael. More so than anything else. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, we're sitting by the tish. We're not sitting by the tish of Rabbi Rubinstein, we're sitting by the tish of Achashverosh. We're sitting there and we're enjoying nene misudasa shel Achashverosh in the language of Chazal. And yet the Chassam Sofer says at that moment, the biggest miracle maybe of all is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu on the last day of Achashverosh's party, killed Vashti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have been so disgusted by us. Hashem could have said, whatever. Whatever happens to. I've given up on you. And the Chassam Sofer says, bigger than the miracle of the Gezeras Haman being overturned, bigger than the miracle of fighting off Amalek, bigger than anything else, is the fact that the Jews are sitting there, eating treif and doing who knows what else according to Chazal. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm still moving the pieces to work things out for you. Because even that low Jew from the Kfar, Hashem says, Vina Havachu, you could lead us into Purim. That other could be the highest. And that the Averos that are taking place here, this bitl of Torah, Eis Lasos LaHashem, and Amalek is all over the place. Hey, Feira Torah Secha, Hashem says, I'll put aside my Torah to save Klal Yisrael. Because I care more about Knesset Yisrael, even than I care about the Torah itself. And that's why, on Purim, there's a sense of Shavius that all Jews are equal. The Bnei HaKfarim, they get to leave, that Yushalayim has to wait to the 15th. And some yid from the boondocks who grows cucumbers. He's a nice guy, but he gets to bring us into Purim. And the Tzaddikim Yerushalayim have to sit and wait? And the answer is yes. Because when you're talking about the name of a person, then you're assessing their quality. When you talk about the etzem of something, when everyone is davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the atzmius of Elokus, so everything's equal. There's no higher, there's no lower. The hedyot is kofetz l'rosh. But the far ones come before the close ones. Even though it doesn't seem to make sense to us. Lei chinos kol lehudim, all the Jews come together. Everything works out. And Klal Yisrael come together in that way. There's more to say, but I want to just end with a maisa. Kvaldik maisa. The Panovitcherov once found himself in Rome, in an airport in Rome. Panovitcherov was a great Talmud Chacham, a great teacher of Torah, but I don't want to say more so, but for Klal Yisrael's sake, a little bit more so, he was even a great fundraiser. And he traveled to collect a lot of money. He spent a lot of time on the road. The Panovitcherov, you think like, you know, the life of a person in Avodas HaKodesh. He spent a lot of time traveling around. And he found himself once in an airport in Rome. And we know this story because it was written in the memoirs of the person he's about to meet. He's sitting in the airport. And this not yet observant Israeli professor recognizes the Panovitcherov. Now you'll say, what is a non-observant Israeli professor without a yarmulke recognizing the Panovitcherov? So the answer is that the Panovitcherov was also involved in politics. And he recognized this picture from the newspapers. And he's sitting alone in this airport, and there's not too many other Yidden around. So he looks up and he sees the Panovitcherov. So he goes over to him and he says, Shalom Aleichem, Panovitcherov. So Panovitcherov looks at him, he's not wearing a yarmulke. Ata Yehudi? You're a Jew? So he says, yes. So the Panovitcherov grabs him, he gives him a big hug, and he starts kissing him. Hugging and kissing him. Ah, he's two Jews alone in an airport in Rome. So he says to the Panovitcherov, he says, Rabbi, if you knew the Averos that I did, then you wouldn't want to be hugging and kissing me. So the Panovitcherov says back to him, he says, and if you knew how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, despite the fact that you do all those disgusting Averos, then you probably wouldn't do so many of those disgusting Averos. And he gave him another hug and another kiss. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Leichnos Kol Yehuda. Hashem says, most of the time, of course, we put the tzaddikim out in front. But once in a while, Hashem says, I need to remind the Jew who's living in the kfar, who's away from the centers of learning, who feels like his whole shlichus in life is just to sell a couple of cucumbers so a yid can have some food to eat, that the head yod is kofetz. He's still a head yod. He's still a simpleton. It's not meant to be derogatory. He's a simpleton. And that the Jews who are far away, that the melech, when he makes his party, sometimes he invites the people who are far away, he makes a bigger party for them than the ones who are close by. That the Bnei HaKfarim should read the Megillah before the people of Yerushalayim. And that even the Torah has to be pushed aside a little bit, in a very delicate way, because again, the Machshavasan Shal Yisrael is Kadmah B'chol Davar. That's the ultimate desire of a Kiddush Baruch. So Mir Tzah Hashem, Jews living in the Ikkas of the Mashiach, we're asked for the end of times, we sometimes find ourselves in pretty lowly places, we're not the biggest neshamas, that's not meant to insult anyone here, but that's just the Mitzias, what Tzaddikim tell us. Mir Tzah Hashem, we should feel that sense of Shavius, that when it comes to Purim, we're at least equal to everyone else. It doesn't matter what kind of costume you're wearing, everyone's equal and everyone loves each other equally. And not only are we equal, but in a certain sense, the last Jews have the ability to come first. That those Jews who are schlepping behind are able to somehow have the opportunity to somehow give kavod and bring kavod shemayim to the melech. So Mir Tzah Hashem, each and every one of us should feel that, especially on a day like today, the 11th of Adar, as it all begins, as the Bnei HaKfarim are beginning to read the Megillah, we have a strong sheiches to them. And Mir Tzah Hashem, each and every one of us should feel that intense love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers upon Klal Yisrael during these wonderful and very precious days. Da 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 So just before Rubenstein speaks, I think we should just take a moment to appreciate the time that he gives us. And he has a busy schedule, and he has a lot of people who want to spend time with him. But we do too. And I made him really crazy this time, because of the upsharing tomorrow night with my son, and Yirtz Hashem, and we had to keep changing the schedule, and then last week I wasn't feeling well, and at home matzav, so just want to thank our Rebbe for spending time with us, and we don't take it for granted. That's all I want to say.
I'm blessed to be here. Spoke about the menus, putting this shit together. A few menus this morning myself. I went to my computer to try to prepare a little bit, and the computer doesn't work. And I took my kids to school, and I missed the bus. And Mama just came here with a big billboard. By Vahel, Mahar. Hashem, it's a big schuss every time to see this shir and a Rebbe like this, and it's been a shtatev. Something like this, and it's a big chiddush in NYU. And Baruch Hashem, it's a big schuss to be a part of it. Just a few questions to put out, just to begin. Hopefully, we'll be able to come back and mitzvah Hashem to them. As the Rebbe told you, that the entire Nes of Purim ironically takes place during the time of Pesach. Something to be said about that, of course. Like was mentioned, Mismach Geula v'Geula is a shayches between Purim and Pesach to create that bond between the two of them. Another interesting point is that many things in the Megillah take place very quickly. Maharu, Esaman, Achastranim, Yatsu Dechufim, Biyah HaRotzim, everything seems to take place at light speed. So we find in the Megillah as well that the word Purim is mentioned three times. Twice without a vav, and once with a vav. The Gemara here in Megillah Tassayim and Aleph, I'm sure you're well aware of this Gemara. The Gemara tells us that when Haman approached Mordechai, and Mordechai thought this was his end, he found that he was learning the sugyas of Kmitza. It's Pesach time after all. And Mordechai prepares himself to bow to the Hashem. And Haman asks him, "What are you learning?" He says, "We're learning the laws of Kmitza, which will be brought in the times of the Mikdash today." He says, "Asam oli kumsi, kimcha ditchu, a little handful of kimcha of yours, come and be doicha the 10,000 shekel of mine." Of course, Mordechai is very surprised. And he tells him, "This is the real deal. Amar lei kum levush hanimani, come take these clothes, put them on, or rechov hai susyan with, and go on this. This sus of the melech, the baylach malka, the king wants you." said I can't do it, whole story. Haman makes sure that Mordechai is ready for it. Because we know that the nace of Purim took place post Beis HaMikdash, in a time of Ahasuerus Bavel. Shom Yoshavnu Gam Bachinu Bezachrein Yosion. Klai Yisrael was a very shattered people. And they would say, Eich Nashir Yashir Hashem Alal Masnecho. How could we serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu here in Golis? Kodesh Baruch Hu is called that he's the Melech, the Mishpat, and in the Eretz Yisrael. Melech Bamishpat Yamid Oretz. Many even felt that it wasn't shaykh to even Mekayim Mitzvahs. We don't know what that means because we lived our whole lives in Chutz La'aretz. But for a Jew who lived in the times of the Beis HaMikdash and he saw what he saw and he lived like he lived, how much Eretz Yisrael was part of the way of Jewish life with Chumas and Maestris, and how they separated each Shevet according to the way that they lived, and the Gevulos of Yerushalayim, everything was very strict and very determined by boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. But to think that there could be life, there could be Jewish life outside of Eretz Yisrael, was something which many Yidden didn't believe that could be done. And in fact, Chazal tell us in the parish of Kriyashma, V'samt Mestra'ila al-Levadchem V'yon Afshechem. Rashi tells us from Chazal, Hetzivu l'chatziyunim, that there's a certain perspective, there's a certain attitude with mitzvos outside of Eretz Yisrael, that we keep them because we need to be prepared that Mashiach will come. And it's very shaykh also to the whole Indian of Kmitzas V'yosel Emer. Chazal tell us that even nowadays, where there's no Omer, we're careful not to eat any of the new of the chadash until the entire day is gone, because the Beis HaMikdash may be built any moment. It's a very kmitza dekalacha. Really personified the attitude of Mordechai, that he was waiting for the geul at any moment. Mordechai Yoshe b'Shar HaMelech. Chazal tell us a person who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, k'misha ein la'alaka. You can imagine they probably took that very literally. Although you're in Golis and you can't be Mekayim Mitzvahs, you're not going to feel the taste of what a mitzvah is, the dveikus that they would have. Putting on tefillin and tzitzis and davening, to be in the Beis HaMikdash. All these things that a Jew was able to feel in the times of the Beis HaMikdash were empty. Ad Masnecha. Beyond and deeper than Hitzivu L'chatziyunim, there are ways in Pnimis HaTorah for a person to still be able to be Mekasher himself to higher places and being Mekayim Mitzvahs. That although in Chitzonius it may be an attitude of Tzivu L'chatziyunim, that a person is going through the motions of practicing Mitzvahs, which unfortunately is the state of many of the Mitzvahs which we do. We're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tzivu L'chatziyunim. But a Pnimistic person, he has a pneumistic understanding of what the Ratzon Hashem is, that Klai Yisrael goes into Golos, what the Aliyah is from that Yerida, how to taitch up a Chazal, k'misha ein la'alaka. We need the eyes of the Tzaddikim to illuminate our perspective. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't just want to practice mitzvahs and chutz la'aretz. He wants Yidden that they should be dovek to him in the times of Churban Beis HaMikdash, perhaps even more than they were in the times of Beis HaMikdash. Such a shaykh thing, Tzaddikim speak about it. And in this thing we have two, perhaps even three drachim. We have the derech of Mordechai, we have the derech of Esther. The way of Mordechai is what we see from this Gemara. Here when Mordechai is learning Hilchos Kmitza, when Haman approaches, and he says, this is what was done today when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Of course, we know that Mordechai wasn't just learning those halachas. Lama doesn't learn this Gemara. He was just recalling. It was just a zecher bi'alma. That's what Chazal tell us. Zayis ha'tayra, ha'asham, ha'mincha, ha'miluim. That a person who learns Torah, he was makriv mamish. And although many Yidden believed that if there was no Beis HaMikdash and there was no Maisa HaKrava, there was nothing which could be done, Mordechai is perhaps maybe one of the reasons why he wasn't so popular even amongst the Sanhedrin. It was a chiddush that Mordechai felt was that you can't be so broken when there's no Beis HaMikdash. And there can be ways still to be Mekayim. Ein lanu shir rak ha-Torah ha-Zayis. And in Golos, the Torah becomes even stronger than it was at the times of the Beis HaMikdash. We see that they were weak. Shelo berchu v'Torah t'chila. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they didn't value, didn't appreciate the koyach of Limud HaTorah. And now that they had no Beis HaMikdash, they were forced to hold on to Torah with the greater chavivas and to squeeze it like an olive and to reveal that oira of Torah. Yehudim Haisa'ira, they saw the beauty, the hidden light of Torah. That they realized that even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, you could still bring korbanos today. And Mordechai was the Rebbe in that. As we say, Yonashalma Farim Svaseinu. In fact, the word Purim comes from the word Parim Svaseinu. The Mishalm of Purim Svaseinu. Mordechai is called Dover Shalom Lechazaroi, when the Shalma Farim Svaseinu. That when there's a Chisaron, when the Shalma Farim Svaseinu, this is the way of Mordechai Atzad. That even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, you could still be Mekayim, the Korbanos, Be'ahavo, Kemitzas, V'tzaynecha. Kemashukasafta, Lein V'tzaynecha. When you do the mitzvahs Be'ahavo, Kemitzas, V'tzaynecha, that's how we're Mekayim. This is the Mahalach of Mordechai Tzad. That there may be no Maisa. That there's this Divei Torah. Torah becomes stronger in Golis. And we know how much Torah we've reaped throughout these Golises. Chanukah is the very beginning of that. The Torah Shebaal Peh was Nisgala, Gufa through Golis. There would be no Torah Shebaal Peh. Chazal tell us that we wouldn't have Memches Nevi'im if there wouldn't be Shviras Aluchos. How much Torah comes from Chorbanos to Kedusha. Perhaps this was very good and very strong for previous generations who at least they knew they had a certain shaykhis to what it means to being a korban. And they were able to learn Torah through this chiddush of Mordechai on the Shalma Parim Svaseinu, to learn Torah in a way that is ki'ilu we bring these korbanos. But as Hiskanas Adara continues to kick in, and become stronger with each passing generation. We don't know what it means to bring a korban. We think of a korban as like a sacrificial offering. The art scroll type. You come with your sword, your knife, whatever it is. And you shecht an animal and there's blood dripping everywhere. And there's the choir singing in the background. That's something that's vacuous, what that means. Korban is a lashon of coming close to Ribbono Shel Olam. How these things become so distorted. The dvekis of Kehanim, Eichlim, Bible, Miskapim. That means the dvekis that they had. A person would walk into the Beis HaMikdash, one person, he'd walk out, mamash, a different person. Different person, mamash. So these generations, we need to hold on to the Derech of Esther. Whereas Mordechai felt that if there was no Beis HaMikdash and there was no Korban to be brought, we have to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam that halavai that my Torah and that my Tefillah should be in a skago. That if you want korbanos and I can't bring it, the klal is, it could still be done. But Esther is a mahalach, which is a different mahalach. Esther's mahalach is when she's asked to be brought before the king, like all the other women. In Haggai, the Sris HaMelech says to her, what can I do for you? Anything which you want, I'll take care of it. It's on the king. It's on his cheshven. Although everybody had a lot to ask from the king, but Esther says, like Biksha Dovar, she has nothing to ask for. She has nothing to say. Loi Biksha Dovar. This is our generation, more or less. We don't know what it means based on Mikdash. We don't know what it means, real Avdas Hashem. Halavai, if anybody here has ever witnessed a tzaddik of the way that he davens, the way that he learns, and many of them conceal themselves, many of them are more open, with their heart to come by, their heart to find, the real tzaddik emes. If you've ever seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Mamish, we know where we are. We know where we are. We know where we are when the time that it takes for us to say an entire davening, it takes the tzaddik to say a kriya shema. But the words to the tzaddik are so sweet, pashut, you can't even move from one word to the next. But when a Jew knows that he doesn't know, and he says, "Loi viksha davar," I don't even know what to ask for. I know not to ask for any gashmius, like viksha davar. That I know that that's not what life is about. It's not about the restaurant life. To thank America for such a concept. It used to be that restaurants was a place that a traveler would stop in, and a kretschmer, he would come in and he would have something to eat. But today there's a culture of restaurant living. Restaurant living. That the highlight of a person's day is that he goes to for a day's work. And what do? They go out and go to a nice restaurant. This is like to be treated like kings for an hour to hour. I'm also part of this Mishigas and this Golis. We're all part of it. And in that Loibat Biksha Davar, the Melech, when he sees Esther, all he can say to her is, Ma Bakash Aseich, Ma Bakash Aseich, whatever you want. I'll do anything you want. Chazal tell us, Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin marjor. That it's the Reach of the Ketoris. And what that means, Reach HaKetoris, is that Mordechai was able to bring Ketoris. Although there was no mamish of Ketoris, he's called after the Ketoris, which means to say that there may not have been a Maisa HaKrava. Mordechai brought Ketoris. However way you want to look at it, Mordechai brought Ketoris. But Esther, the Inyan of Loi Biksha Davar, Esther min ha-Torah minayin, anoichi haster aser panim ikenam. That's a tkufa where there's going to be such a hester panim, not just one hester like the Baal Shem says, but a double hester. When there's one hester, you can be a Mordechai. But already when you're so many generations down the line and you're in a massive anoichi haster aser panai, like we should tell you, you don't even know what to ask for. Somebody would say to you, would you want to bring a korban today? Would you jump and say, yes, I really want to bring a korban? Who could say such a thing? Do we even know what that means? David HaMelech says, Erchatz b'nekayim kapay v'asayv b'mizbech HaShem. He comes to the Mizbech, El El Simchas Gili, he says. Tremendous simcha which I have to come to the Mizbech. He didn't even see a Mizbech in his lifetime. A Mizbech in the Beis HaMikdash he didn't see. Chazal tell us that Haman wanted to kill Mordechai at the time of Kriya Shema. Very interesting thing. Shulchan Aruch says a halacha in Hilchos Kriya Shema. Simin Samach Beis, Sif Dalid, Imachmas Chayli O'Onez. If a person has a certain chayli or he's an onis b'davar, kara kriya shema b'libay v'yatza. He can read kriya shema in his heart and he can be yotze. So the Magen Avraham, he says, for example, what's a place where you can't say kriya shema? Could go on Beis Chaim Tzai Shal Merchatz. It's different. In halacha, there are certain cheders. Beis Achitzam, Beis Amtzai, Beis Apnimi, which have different halachas in terms of what and what cannot do. Where it's mutter to be mahar of the Beit Torah there. And he quotes the Shla. The Beis Yosef really tries to understand this halacha. What does that mean? That if a person is in a place where he can't say the Beit Torah, he also can't think the Beit Torah there. So he can't think the words in a Beis HaMerchatz Mamish, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, which is why Magen Avraham says the Beis Chaim Tzai, it's a place where you can actually say Divrei Torah in your heart. It's not mamish with this tinuf there, mamish. It's not a place where there's literally, let's say, tzol or something which is highly inappropriate for any kedusha to be said or to be thought there. So the Ramah writes, "Va'af lechatchila yasekin imu b'mokum she'ino nokei legami v'niyochel enakayisim mishum onis ahar b'libo v'vav shleihem mokum etunav legami because then you can't be hired at all." The Shlah says, Magen Avraham quoting him, "She'ahar b'libo haino she'yachshav b'libo shemichuyiv levarich v'yitzdar al kach al she'ino yochel levarich." That there's two madrigas. That sometimes there's a place where you can say devet, where you can't say devet, but you can think the actual bracha in your mind. But then there's a place where it's mamish and metunaf mamish. Metunaf mamish. And you can't say anything. And the only thing that you could do is to be mitzta'ir that you can't do it. And this is the halacha that if you're mahari b'libo, you're yotze. It's an amazing thing. And perhaps this is what Haman wanted from Mordechai. That he came with his getchka, he came and he knew that he wore an avodah zarah on his heart. Perhaps many Yidden didn't know about it. And he came and Mordechai knew about it. And I'm sure he showed up every single day at the time of Kriya Shema and he wanted to be mevatel Mordechai from that Kriya Shema every single time. And you know what? And he would say to Mordechai, "Madua ata aiver al mitzvah ha-melech," again this vayaver Mordechai. And Mordechai couldn't say Kriya Shema. That's called mitzvah ha-melech. The mitzvah d'oraisa every day, which a yid has to do, is to say Kriya Shema. Mordechai couldn't say Shema. And he couldn't even be mahar, he couldn't even think it, because the avodah zarah is right in his face. It's in his dalet amos. But he was mitztayer b'libay, that he couldn't do it, and he's yoytzeh the mitzvah. That's what Haman wanted. To be mevatel the Kriya Shema of Mordechai. But what he didn't know is the back door. That if a Jew is mitztayer because he can't, it's as if he did it. But perhaps even higher than Mordechai and Esther, there's an even deeper madriga for this generation, more than even previous generations. That if there was one Hester, and that's Mordechai, that's a neshama parmes v'seinu. And if there's a double Hester, that's Anaychi Hasa Asa Panamikam, that's Esther, that she's like Biksha Davar. There's another madriga. And that madriga is the Chiddush of David HaMelech. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Hayisi kese oyved." I was like a lost sheep. Bakish avdecha. That I don't even have the words to ask you, Rabbeinu Shlomo, you should find me. All I ask of you is that I should find you, you should find me. So as Mordechai says, I'm going to be mevakish Hashem. And Esther says, "Lei biksha davar." David HaMelech says, "Bakish avdecha." I have no words, I have no thoughts. I don't even know what I want anymore. Just bakish avdecha, you seek me out. That he puts the chase in Hashem's hands. How am I going to chase after you? I'm going to come running after you? I can't. You should be coming running after me. And we find in the Megillah itself, it says that when Mordechai, when he reported the assassination attempt by Bigsam Viseresh, it was a very thorough investigation. Vayivukash hadavar vayimotze. And when the Melech wants to find something, vayivukash hadavar, he seeks it out, vayimotze. He finds what he's looking for. And especially in a generation like this, where we don't know our left from our right. The early tzaddikim said that we don't know the derech Hashem. We don't really know. The mamish don't know what this. It's a mysterious derech. Hanaisim bayom derech. Whatever it is, the way of Hashem is through the sea. If we can't split seas, then we don't know the way of Hashem. And the Devei Chaim used to say by Rosh Hashanah, he used to say, "I don't know anything. All I know is that however we served Hashem this year, we didn't do it right. We got to do it again this year with a new plan." So Devei Chaim, That's the only thing he knew about the coming year. Whatever we did this past year wasn't right. If Mashiach's not here, then we're not doing it right. This is not the Derech Hashem, Hamiti. And that's what we are. We're like a seh looking for our master. The seh doesn't know who he's looking for. Doesn't know how to read the street signs. Hashem is throwing us so many simanim left and right. And people are trying to read the simanim. Mom is trying to read the simanim. And we go to Mekubalim and we try to do certain skulos and we try to figure out what the Baruch Hu wants from us. We're not Nevi'im, we're Kamad, not B'nei Nevi'im. We don't know anything about anything. The only thing which we have, which is the greatest thing which we have, is to turn to Baruch Hu and say, give a good look at who we are and where we're holding and say, Bakish Avdecha. Bakish Avdecha. And you can be sure that he will find you. Vayivuka Shadav Vayimatze. And this is not a chiddush of Mordechai. And this is not a chiddush of Esther. A chiddush of Haman. Because when Mordechai is sitting here with his Talmidim and he's learning the halachas of Kmitza, and Haman says to him, Asi molikum sa kimcha didchu v'dachi asara afi kirki kasva didi. And Mordechai had his mahalach and had to bring his marjor in a time when there was no Beis HaMikdash. What does Haman say to him? Kum levosh hanimani. Come, get up, wear these clothes of the king. V'rochev ha'isusya. And ride on the horse of the king. D'boi lach maka, because the king wants you. That's it. Hamelech mevakesh ha'isla. The king wants you. That's why. Not because you brought a carbon. Because at a time where nobody thinks that they could do anything after the Beis HaMikdash, and you feel that there's something that could be done, king wants you. The Bayi Loch Malka, king wants you. And that was the message. And that was, those who were able to read in between the lines of what Haman was parading around, teaching the Jewish people. Kacha yasa la'ish. Asher HaMelech HaFeitz Bikaro. That's it. The king wants him. That's all. He found the way that the king should want him. Many people were watching and they were sitting and they were laughing and they were dancing and they said, this is the beginning of Tzmichas Gulas Yisrael. But then there were Talmidei Chacham and Eisen of people who were sitting there and they were listening to what Haman was saying. Listen to what Hashem is teaching you. Kacha Yaseh La'ish Asher HaMelech HaFeitz Bikaro. The Ribbono Shel'Olam wants you. And all we need to do is that the Ribbono Shel'Olam should want us. That's what it means, Bakish Avdecha. I ask you, Ribbono Shel'Olam, that you should want me. That's all I need, is that you should have a ratzon for me. And to be makir that, it gives a Jew such a chain in the eyes of Ribbono Shel'Olam that he knows that who could serve a king like this properly? Especially now in Chovei Mitzvah Mikdash, to even dream that we should have mamish big madrigas and avodas Hashem would be delusional. I think we could be zeichet to madrigas. We need to be given madrigas and a silver platter from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to say bakish avdecha. Because Ezra could have been like Moshe Chazal say, if not for the fact that the generation would be worthy of it. A generation like this, a person should be like an Ezra, should be a Baal Ruch HaKodesh mamish. And even those who are, it's only because they were given to it as a matana, not because they were Baal Madrigas. But they asked the Ribbono Shel Olam for gifts. Like Rashi says, Vaschanan al Hashem, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi, everything was a matnas chinam by him. It's a very beautiful lashon that Rabbi Nachman has in Sichas Aran. He says in Sichon and Aleph, he says, V'lavid Hashem eni yedeya. He says, I don't know what it means to serve Hashem. Mihu sheyuchel loymer sheyavides Hashem. Who thinks that he could serve this king, the figdula saboris baruch, according to his greatness? Who could serve a king like this? Mi sheyedeya me'at migdula seyiz baruch. Anybody who knows a little bit about who he is, this Ribbono Shel Olam, ein lo yodea ech yuchal lemer shabbos isbach. How could he say such a thing that he serves the Ribbono Shel Olam? V'shum malach usaraf ein lo yachal ispar al zayis. Not even an angel can say about himself that he could serve Hashem. Rak ha'ikir hu haratzon. This is the main thing. The main thing is to want to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yes, Ritzaynai Chazak V'Takif Tamid L'Iskar L'Izbach. To want. Mordechai wanted very badly. Esther wanted also, but she didn't even know what she wanted. And Haman was Mechadishas. The Afal Pichin. Even when you don't even have a Ratzon whatsoever, you can at least say to Ribbono Shel Olam, Bakish Avdecha, I don't have a Ratzon. At least you should want me. And we have to thank him for that. You know, we say Shoshana Yaakov is a halav esamecha berasam yachet chilas Mordechai. Boruch Mordechai haYehudi brucha Esther ba'adi. Boruch Mordechai, we understand. Mor dror neshama farms vaseinu brucha Esther, we understand lebik shatavar ma b'koshoseich. And it comes along that reason on his megalas side that when a person comes to a state of adal yada. His Ad Yaelada should be such a one that he should say Baruch Haman. So for all you, for the first time that you're exposed to such a thing, I welcome you to a beautiful world called the world of Baruch Haman. Of the great Chiddush of the Arizal. That if you wouldn't say it, who could say such a thing? That Hashem kept a very special secret for later generations. There should be such a thing that a person should go out of his mind and he should say Baruch Haman. Then he's right to the midst of Ad Yaelada. Sounds like a big joke. Of course, he has his Al Pisoy to touch what that means. But according to what we're saying, Baruch Haman, he also needs the Yashkayach. A very big bracha comes from the mouth of Haman too. It's a very big bracha. It's a very big gift to the Jewish people. This is an even higher madrigal than Baruch Mordechai. But it comes from a place of Ad L'Yada. If a Jew can earnestly say about himself, I pashut don't know my left from my right. I think I want to know what's right. I think I want to do Baruch Mordechai. I think I know what's Or Haman, but I'm still confused. I really don't know. I really don't know the Derech of Hashem. And I try to have good Chaverim. I try to put myself in good places and to have a Rebbe and to try to do my best in everything which I can. And I really don't think that I'm a real Eved Hashem. And I really don't know that my Ratzon is so strong either. And it's not easy. It's not easy 2,000 years after Beis HaMikdash to want a Beis HaMikdash to know what we don't really know what we really want even. We're even we're for sure in a massively big shadavar. We don't even know what to ask for such a thing. We should want a Beis HaMikdash. But to be at that place of Bakish Avdecha, which is the state of Ad Lo Yada, in that matzav, in that place of Ad Lo Yada, to come to that Baruch Haman, the very big gift that Haman gave us. And that's what it means when we say in the Megillah, V'ashtiyah kados ein oines. That when the shtiyah is kados, when you drink good, when you drink a Torah dika shtiyah on Purim, ein oines, you can't say that you're an oines, you can't bring a korban today. Not going to just be a hetzivu l'chatzionim dika guy. I'll go through the motions of putting on tefillin and tzitzis and davening and everything I'm supposed to do until the Beis HaMikdash comes. Purim teaches you there's a new way. You can do it. You can mamish bring it. Chazal say ish is Mordechai v'ish is Haman. You can do it the Neshama Farms Vaseinu way, which is Mordechai. You can do it the Haman way, which is Bakish Avdecha. But don't give me any of this one stuff. Mishachoshav lasayis mitzvah, and he's oynis b'davar, nechshav kilu asah. It's as if he did it. The Sfar Makdashim tell us, and Elimelech Pashat Vayira, it's as if he did it because his ratzon is so strong. Rachman aliba boy. That from Torah Shabbat Pei emerges ways to do things. Nizkarim v'nasim. If you could just mention it, it's as if you did it. That's the whole limud from the Megillah. That's what we learned. There's karm v'nasim. If you just say it, you could see if you did it. And that's perhaps why the whole Nesa Purim takes place during Pesach. And it revolves around the Korban Pesach and the bittul of the Korban Pesach. Bittul of the Korban Pesach means there was no Korban Pesach that year, right? What do we learn by the Korban Pesach? It says that after Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Bnei Yisrael the mitzvah to bring the Korban Pesach, v'amartens of the Bezach l'Hashem, v'ayelchu v'yasu Bnei Yisrael kasher tziv Hashem es meish v'aron kinosu, zogt Rashi, v'ayelchu v'yasu. So Rashi's bothered. What do you mean they went? It's quoting the Mechilta. Afa halicha mana kosov, liten schar la halicha, schar la asiya, okay? Kasher tziv Hashem es meish v'meish v'aron, lahagid shvachan shal Yisrael. Did they do it yet? They didn't do it yet. Hashem, we speak to them on Rosh Chodesh. The Korban Pesach teaches us that as soon as Moshe and Aaron had a ratzon to do it, it's as if they did it already. This is almost the very first mitzvah in the history of the Jewish people. And it comes by the Korban Pesach. And this was the very Korban Pesach when Mordechai was being mevata. Mordechai understood the secret ingredient, the Korban Pesach, the secret limud, which this tiny little Rashi which slips in the cracks. But there's an inyan called Vayelchu Vayasu, that they did it before they even did it. That's the secret of Korban Pesach, which Mordechai employed at the time of Korban Beis HaMikdash. Vayelchu Vayasu. If you're a Moshe and Aaron, and you really want to bring a Korban Pesach, they couldn't wait to bring a Korban Pesach. Like the Kedushas Levi, how he waited all night. And when it came time to grab Lulav and Esek by Nates, he stuck his hand through the glass to take his Lulav and Esek. He couldn't wait. The cheshik that a tzaddik has in Mekayim a mitzvah. Pinchas Koras used to say that sometimes I prepare myself a week in advance before I do a mitzvah. I prepare already for that mitzvah. Can you imagine such a thing? To prepare for a mitzvah, I think he said maybe even a month in advance. He's thinking about a mitzvah already he's going to do, and he's already making hachanas now for a mitzvah a week away. Making hachanas for the mitzvah. Not just that, he's making hachanas for the mitzvah. Perhaps that's why Purim is mentioned three times in the Megillah. There's three different bechinas in the Shalom of Farmas Vaseinu. There's the Mordechai and the Esther, which we understand, we play a role in that. And that's Purim Chaser. But the highest one is the Purim Mole. That's Haman. That's the Baruch Haman, which eclipses even the Baruch Mordechai and the Baruch Esruch Esther. And that's so appropriate for our generation. Like the Svarim Kedoshim always tell us, if you want to learn how to serve Hashem, to have a Ratzon Hashem, look at the way the Goyim run to their theaters and learn how to run to serve Hashem Yisbarach. Like how they line up on Black Friday to save a few dollars. Way early in the morning to buy a camera, chveis. When a Jew puts on tefillin every single day, I speak for myself more than anybody. This is a... It's not just Hetzivi L'Chatzionim. This is like Yudam Haisa Oira Zutaira Vikar Zutfilin. Appreciate what this means, a mitzvah. And that's really why the Nesa Purim happened at super light speed. Because it wasn't just something which happens begrudgingly. When things happen begrudgingly, they go very slowly. You do a little bit here, you do a little bit there. You really don't want to do it. It goes very slowly. But when something has a strong ratzon for something, the ratzon is from the word ratz, it goes very quickly. And because the nes of Purim was nisayra, came from such a place, the Bnei Yisrael didn't look at their matzav and say, wow, look how great we are. This is Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is, what are we going to do to compensate? When the Shalom Parim Sosenu, Olay Bik Shadavar, that the Melech wants you. If the Melech wants something, it goes like this. Vayvuko Shadar V'yimatze. Boom, boom, boom. Ma'aru Es Haman. Vayavhilu. Yatsu dechufim. If the king wants, everything is light speed. And that's the Nes of Purim. Hamelech mevakesh otcha. The king wants you. If the king wants you, it doesn't matter what your cheshbon is. And that's what the Ribono Shel Olam wants, that he wants to be wanted. That he likes to see the Yidden come together like this in a spirit of, we don't know always what we come here for. We don't know the real derech of the Rebbeinu Shalom, but one thing we can at least say, halavai we should say, is that bakish adecha. If I can't find you, you find me, and I know that's a vadai. The king will find me wherever I am. He knows where to find me. He will take me from the depths of Woodmere, Wayu, wherever it is. He will find me wherever I am, and he will bring me to where I need to be. Because I know I can't do it on my own. And that's a tremendous strength, and that's a tremendous godless amaychen that a Jew has. Which is very hard, even at times of the Beis Hamikdash, to know that you're not doing anything. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is really doing everything. It's very easy, and that's the gift of godless, really. And Mordechai was the big Mabachadish in his time. Again, maybe the Sanhedrin wasn't so happy with that. But as Chuasal Hayisal and Esach, Tikvasam Chol Davidah, there will always be a tikva and a hope for Yeshua when a Jew goes with this in his hand, this motto of Bakish Avdacha. So as we approach the day of Purim, and there's many mitzvahs which are waiting for us, which we're waiting for, Mamash, we go Michael Chayah from Kiyas Megillah to Mishloach Manos. It's a day, Kemat, like you're in a different world. Mamash, a different world. I like to say that I don't think I've ever saw a guy on Purim day in my life. You ever see a guy on Purim? You're driving on the street, you're walking the street. Whoever saw a guy on Purim? I don't even know what a guy looks like on Purim. It's a mamash, a different reality. Mamash, a different reality. We're going into an amazing world, which already started today, like we heard from our Rebbe. The gates are already open. The gates are already open to be able to come into that place. And the tachas of that is adaliyata, that a Jew should know, come to a place of Baruch Haman to appreciate this gift of halavai, the Melech wants me, and that should give us such a chizik. So if we walk away with that alone into the coming year, then itself is a gevaldige zach, v'shebezeichet, v'mekabal all the orders of Purim, v'simcha, Marbi v'simcha, with that to be zeichet, to the ultimate Yeshua from that place, b'yaz v'yal tzedek, we have been on.
Benaba, 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 Bena Do you want to dive in? So we can dive in?
Yeah, please.
Straight up.
We have a hand.
No, no, no.
Do you want to dive in?
No, no, no.